Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 1. And that's where we're going to begin. And today we're going to look at a little bit about Jesus Christ. Okay? It is the name of Jesus Christ that men and women are saved, born again, and converted. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that the sick are healed to rise up again and declare the glory of God. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that devil spirits are cast out, and people are forever freed in body and mind. Unless we know that name of Jesus Christ as a vital living reality in our lives, we are most definitely limiting God. So where did that quote come from? Yeah. Are you limiting God? Yeah, isn't that great? But, you know, it is in the name of Jesus Christ. And, you know, everybody that prayed here today prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's great. But, you know, it's more than just saying it, isn't it? It's really in your heart, believing it, having a passion for it. You know, why do we have fellowship every, you know, couple times a week? And why do you go to fellowship? I prepare teachings and believe in my heart that, number one, I'm introducing light into the world, which will dispel darkness. I believe that I teach what God wants me to teach. I pray and ask Him, and then I am believing that somebody will be helped or healed or delivered or enriched in some way, and hopefully more than just one. You know, and why do we do family camps? Well, I believe that family camps, you know, if we do it right and we do it according to God's will, people are going to get healed. People are going to get blessed. People are going to be inspired. I mean, that's the purpose of it. The whole purpose of doing all this is so that we believe. We believe God. And a big part of believing God is believing in Jesus Christ and who He was and what He accomplished for us. So Romans chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And the word servant is the word doulos, meaning a bond slave. It doesn't mean he was, you know, out picking cotton, does it? But it means a bondslave is one that who commits his life to serve the master. It's a lifetime commitment to serve the master, Jesus Christ. And it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And then verse 2 is a parenthesis which explains something. It says, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Which he had promised is which he, God, had promised concerning Jesus Christ, right? Concerning his son, and the words Jesus Christ our Lord are not in the text. Concerning his son, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, and then it should read, Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, it should read, Jesus Christ our Lord at the bottom. So, the gospel of God is all about Jesus Christ from beginning to end. You know, and the first prophecy of Jesus Christ was Genesis 3:15, when Adam fell. Why? Well, because before that there was no need for a Savior. Okay, in verse 4 it says, He is declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection. He was declared to be the Son of God. Now, were people before Jesus Christ raised from the dead?
Yes.
Sure. Elijah raised somebody from the dead. Elisha? Was it? Yeah. Jesus Christ raised some people from the four, I think he raised from the dead, didn't he? Not just Lazarus, but he raised the guy on the funeral pyre, you know, in Nin, a couple other times. Later on, Paul was raised from the dead. Other people were raised from the dead. But Jesus Christ, the only one that was raised or resurrected and then rose into heaven. He's the only one that stayed alive, right? So it says Jesus Christ was declared, and the word declared means he was marked out. He was designated, set apart from all other men ever born throughout all history. He's set apart, he's separate, he's different. He was marked out and declared. He was marked out and set apart by the resurrection. How important is the resurrection? Pretty important, right? It is the most important happening in Christianity, in history. You know, when we get born again, what do we declare? We confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts that God did what?
Raised
them from the dead. The resurrection. Let's go to Acts 17. Acts 17. Verse 31. It says, because he, referring to God, hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised them from the dead. Now this is about God and about Jesus Christ. Okay, God appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man is Jesus Christ, whom he hath ordained or set apart or marked out or declared, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. That's our assurance. That's our assurance. He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, what's the greatest fear? Death. Well, God has conquered it for us. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Jesus Christ knew what he faced. He knew what he was facing. He knew he was going to die. And he knew pretty much how he was going to die. Because he prayed to God in the garden, right? And he said, you know, is there another way, God? He also knew that God promised that he would raise him up. He believed God to the point where he was willing to go through all he did. Pretty amazing. Chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So God highly exalted Jesus Christ. So if God highly exalted him, what should we do? Highly exalt him, right? He should hold a place in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds, above everything else. You know, what do we highly exalt in life?
Sports.
That's right. People highly exalt sports. They exalt writers and teachers and doctors and politicians and, you know, all kinds of, what we call great humanitarians, right? Mother Teresa was she was pretty cool. You know, she believed God, she served God. But, you know, Albert Schweitzer, probably none of you have ever heard of him anymore, but he was a guy that went into the jungle of Africa. He was a doctor and he healed, you know, and took care of people, and he got the Nobel Prize for Peace. You know, okay, great. Did he get anybody born again? That's the real question. I don't know. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But, you know, we exalt all kinds of people. But you know what? Jesus Christ should be exalted above every other name in our lives, except for God himself, God our Father. You know, Jesus Christ should be exalted above everything else. So wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, Jesus Christ, and given him a name which is above every name. And that means that his name has power. His name has authority. That in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And of course it says that in Ephesians, doesn't it? It says it put him above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that's named. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And every time we declare Jesus as Lord, it glorifies God our Father. Pretty great. What a great thing. God Father Jesus Christ, God ordained Jesus Christ, and God assures us by the way of the resurrection that we have what we have and that he did what he did. And it glorifies God when we exalt Jesus Christ and honor that name. The working translation of verse 10, well, it's chapter 3, verse 7. It says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. That's Paul speaking. All the things in life that he counted gain. And what did he count gain? Well, it says he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was the most educated. He had a high place in society. He was honored. He thought he knew everything. He thought he had all the answers. And he said he counted all those things but loss. He gave up everything for Christ. He was willing to give up everything for Jesus Christ. You know, we should be willing to give up everything for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and but do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You know, he put everything else to the side. Everything else was secondary to serving Jesus Christ, to learning about Jesus Christ, to walking for Jesus Christ. He put everything else aside. That was first. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith or believing concerning Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, by believing, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Yes, he wanted to know the power of the resurrection. In the working translation, this is translated, as a result, I know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings having become conformed to his death. Conform means to become like the form of. You know, he became conformed unto his death, meaning he understood his life. You know, we identify with Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died, we died with him. When he rose from the dead, we rose with him. We are to walk in light of the resurrection. Pretty great. It is the power of the resurrection in which we can live. We can live in light of the power of the resurrection. That's what Paul is talking about. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus Christ is the greatest man that ever lived, and he was a great Savior. He was a great Savior and a complete Savior because we were a complete and total loss. You know, without God's Spirit in us, we're worthless. You know, and with God's Spirit, we're priceless. Pretty amazing. Just by believing, just by confessing and believing, we go from being worthless to priceless. Isn't that something? In a second of time. To God, we are absolutely priceless. He values our lives more than we value our lives. And he only wants the best for us. But you know what? It's a stupid thing, but it's, you know, we always think, well, I want to do it my way. You know, and reality is we need to do it his way. And his way is to honor Jesus Christ and walk in light of the resurrection. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 16, it says, cease not. Okay, this is a prayer that Paul prays for the believers, for us. And he prays it by revelation. This is God's desire and heart for us. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. You know, it's the power of God that's in our lives. That's what God wants us to see, what he wants us to live. And it's that same power that was wrought in Christ. It was made known, was made manifest, was shown when Christ was resurrected and when he ascended into heaven. That's the greatest power in the universe. It's the power of God. And that's what he wants us to see. Everything that God foretold, everything that God gave, everything that God has promised in the future, which is for us, is through or by way of or wrapped up in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our brother, and our joint heir. Everything is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. That's why he is our Lord and he is our Savior. And Paul, you know, sets himself out and shows how he did all to serve Jesus Christ, and his exhortation to us, his encouragement to us is to live that way, to make Jesus Christ the Lord in our life every day, that every detail of our life should be governed by the fact that Jesus Christ is our Lord, and we are to exalt that name above every name. You know, and that just, you know, that's not just words, and that's not just something you say, but that is something that you live day by day. That is something that you manifest day by day, you know, making Jesus Lord in your life. It's something that you manifest. It is exemplified by your actions, by your thoughts, by your words, by the way you live your life. Pretty incredible. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Okay. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How did you receive Jesus Christ? You believed. You believed what the word says about him, that he was the Son of God, that he was the Lord, and that God raised him from the dead. So we're to walk in light of that. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, or the right way of believing, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know, if nothing else, we should be so thankful every day for what Jesus Christ was willing to do for us, right?
Right.
Which made the new birth available to us, that made Holy Spirit available to us. We should never be unthankful. I don't care what your situation is, what your circumstance is, what happened this morning, what happened last night or last week, or, you know, we should be thankful. Period. Beware. That's a great word, beware. I always think about signs on the fence. Beware of dog. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know, to be spoiled, to be carried away is what that's talking about. To be carried away through philosophy, you know, worldly wisdom, vain deceit. You know, I can figure it out for myself. You know, the wisdom of man and science and technology and all this stuff. After the tradition of men, you know, traditions. Traditions are nice as long as they don't interfere with the word. But as soon as they interfere with the word, they should be thrown in the trash. After the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know, anything that contradicts what God says and about his son, Jesus Christ, is wrong. And so we are to discard it. We're to always look to Jesus Christ, and we're to look to God and what he did for us through Jesus Christ, and how what we have in Jesus Christ, and who we are in Jesus Christ. And then it says, for in him refers to Christ, right? For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the word Godhead here actually means the divine nature. It's in Christ that everything dwells concerning the divine nature. You know, in Peter it says we are partakers of the divine nature. That's what it's talking about, the divine nature. And then it says, and ye are complete in him, in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. You know, we are complete in our divine nature, in our spiritual being. We're complete. Before God, we're righteous, we're sanctified, we're holy, we're without blame, we are his sons, you know. We've been forgiven for all our sins. We've been forgiven for our sin nature. You know, we have received his Holy Spirit. We have eternal life. We are complete. We have the power of Holy Spirit within us. We can walk with God, and if we listen to God, we can manifest that power, and we can manifest that life that God would have us to manifest, which is a more than abundant life. But how do you have to do it? Have to do it his way. Very easy. Very simple. You know, in Christ we are totally and completely complete. Nothing missing. Not one spiritual atom is missing. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. You know, you read through the Gospels and you see all the stuff that Jesus Christ did, it's almost like, wow, you know, but then you read the church epistles and you say, and it says, you know, we have Christ in us. You know, everything we have is wrapped up in Christ. We have everything through him. In chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh. You know, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, those that are in that are born again, right? Those that are born again, there is no condemnation. None whatsoever. There's no condemnation. After the Spirit isn't in the text, then it goes on. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, if you read the law, what's it about? Sin and death. You know, why we don't teach about sin or not sinning. I mean, everybody's going to sin. That's not the question. The question is not that you sin, and there's no difference between sin, is there? Sin is sin. The consequences of those sins may differ. But sin itself is sin. You know, one sin is just as bad as the other. There's no, this is a really bad sin, and this is just a little, yeah, a little white lie. There's no misdemeanors and felonies and so on and so forth with God. You know, they're all the same. But we are sin-free, according to God's word. He has forgiven us for the past, present, and future. They're all done. They're all paid for. They're all finished. So what is God's exhortation? That we walk in the Spirit. We live a Christ-like life. We live in light of that divine nature, in light of that resurrection. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, and we all understand that, don't we? The flesh is weak. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, we're righteous before God. We're righteous. Let's go to verse 31. What shall we then say? Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, whenever we're in alignment and harmony with God, it doesn't matter what we're going up against. It doesn't matter who criticizes us. It doesn't matter who condemns us. It doesn't matter what the situation or the circumstances. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Wow, what a verse. I mean, just if you just thought about that and thought about that and thought about that, it would just rock your socks for months on end. You know, he who was willing to give his own son for us, how shall he not freely give us all things? I mean, it's just too big for your mind to comprehend. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who will accuse you of anything? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ, yea, that died, yea, that is rather is risen again. Again, Jesus Christ is risen again. The resurrection, that which assures us, that which declared Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, the promised Messiah, the resurrection. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. As though he didn't already do enough by suffering and dying and rising from the dead, he's sitting at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Endlessly and tirelessly, all the time. What a great God and what a great Savior, Jesus Christ. What a great Jesus Christ. And I want to close in John chapter 6. This is a very interesting little section of Scripture. We're going to go to chapter 6 of John, Gospel of John, verse 66. Jesus Christ talks about a bunch of things. He talks about being the bread of life, and his words, they are spirit and they are life. And then you get down to verse 66, and it says, from that time on, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know, these guys had come running, and they listened to him, and they followed his teachings, and they were all excited. And then he confronted them on some stuff, and he said, you know, you have to believe, and you have to be committed. And so they said, well, okay, never mind. Never mind. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? That's a good question. You know, you've heard the word of God. You know, and it's, you know, sometimes you look at some of the mega churches out there, they get thousands and thousands of people. But you know what? If you don't teach the truth of God's word, it's easy to get lots of people to listen. We watched that stupid thing on, there's this actress, Leah Remini, and she was in Scientology, you know, and they get thousands of people, and they're nuts. They're nuts. There used to be a thing in the 70s or 80s called EST. It's still around. They do it some other way. People spend thousands of dollars taking these seminars where they don't teach them anything, you know. But if you get confronted with the Word of God, you have to believe or not believe. You have to determine if you're going to stand for God and Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ is going to be the Lord in your life or not. If he's the Lord in your life, you're going to prosper. You know, you're going to come out on top. You're going to have confidence that he's going to take care of you. And if you don't commit your life to Jesus Christ to serve him and make him Lord in your life every day, it's just going to be back and forth, up and down, back and forth. That's what it is. So then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Hey, is this getting too tough for you guys too? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's where we need to be in our lives. We are sure that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, and that he is the Son of the living God. That's where our lives have to be. That's where we need to be. And the assurance to that life is the resurrection. And the assurance of the resurrection is we have Holy Spirit, we speak in tongues. That's what we have. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, for what a great and mighty God you are and how you sent your Son. And he was so willing to do what you asked him to do, and that he's there on your right side, and that we can serve you and serve him to the best of our ability, and that every day we can think about and be thankful for all you've done for us through him, and how we can make him Lord in our life every day in every aspect, and how we can be shining examples of being real believing Christians in our lives. And we just thank you for that. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.